Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. God calls us to things we cannot see. God calls us to things we cannot see. Here's a few things that no one saw and that didn't just happen on their own. There's a list up here, but the one that really jumps out to me is 10 years after purchasing the Boy Scout camp in 1984. From 1984 to 1994, there were 10 years of faithful praying, exploring, and work. And the folks of Dexter UMC moved the whole operation from Central Street, where the dentist's office is on 4th, to where we are now, to have more room for their dream of seeing God reach thousands of people who are far from God, who could find hope, who could be connected to God and to one another. They wanted to see what it looks like when Christ followers who are not mature grow up into the fullness of who they were created to be by God. They wanted true community here and wanted to be able to continue to offer it. I guess there used to be a big parking problem downtown. How many people remember that? Their hand, everyone's like, oh my gosh, don't remind me. Yeah. Amazing, we have a parking problem here now. It's crazy. But during this time, these people wanted to see people who had been spectators on the sidelines get engaged in the needs of the poor, to see people without hope find God in Jesus Christ, and to see isolated and lonely people a place where they would find friends. Could they see it? Not exactly. But they were seeing lives being touched and lives being changed, just like we heard a moment ago. You know, this dive-in celebration, the two-year generosity initiative, and we're in the halfway part right now, it's dive-in is not clever marketing. Dive-in is what this church did. It's what the early church did as it reached out to a hostile culture. It's what this church did throughout the years to bring us to this point. They dove in. One of the things, as I see, dive in has become more than this word. Dive in seems to be everywhere, and it is a big characteristic of Dexter United Methodist Church. And if you think God is not calling you to the idea of taking a step forward in generosity, I challenge you to seek then to seek God on what your next step might be. It may simply be not to run away from this place. It may be to stay open to God's Spirit or to receive the message of Jesus Christ. That may be what your next step in generosity to yourself is to not run away or to receive Christ. And it's all because God calls us to things we cannot yet see. During World War II, a father who was holding his son by the arm was seen running from a building that had just been bombed. In the front yard was a huge hole where another bomb had already exploded, and the father had to find shelter. So seeking shelter for them, the father jumped down into the hole, and he called for his son to jump down into his arms. The boy, however, was standing at the rim and could not see into the hole because of the dust and because of the darkness. But the father could easily see the silhouette of his son against the sky above him. The boy hesitated and he said, "But Daddy, I can't see you." The father responded, "It's okay, son. I can see you. Jump. I won't let you fall. Just jump." You know, in those times when we can't see what we're about, what the world is about, what our future is about, or even what God is up to. In those times when we can't see the Father, it's up to you and me to listen to his words that say, simply trust in me. He will be there. And then once we take that step from our prior experience with the Father, it will make it easier to jump or to dive in when we need to, in whatever area of life we're talking about. It's been that way from the beginning, from the formation of the God's witness on earth. In Genesis chapter 12, here are these words, starting in verse 1 and going to verse 3. The Lord said to Abram, who God would later name what? Abraham, that's right. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You know, when I was at General Conference, the Global United Methodist Church, I got to witness all peoples being blessed. We're starting an annual conference, a missional annual conference in Mongolia. We're starting them in Indonesia. We're starting them in India. They're already throughout Africa, that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You heard me say it. We cheered when we heard that $68.5 million in the last 4 years was given to Imagine No Malaria around the world. God calls us to things we cannot yet see. You know, people always start Abram's story in Genesis chapter 12, but it really begins in Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 is like the prequel leading up to God calling. Up until then, everyone thought the whole universe was cyclical. And for the first time, God calls someone out of where they have been in a way. In Genesis 11, the world was in a very dark time spiritually. Genesis 11 is about the Tower of Babel, which symbolized humanity's rejection of God, their rebellion, and their wholesale worship of idols, anything other than the living God. Genesis 11 ends with only one family line that belongs to God, and that's the descendants of Shem. But it ends in chapter 11 with them living in a place of idolatry, being consumed by that place. The final person in this line, Terah, has one son, and his name is Abraham. Abram and his wife Sarai are childless. Now, Terah's name literally means moon, which is a Hebrew metaphor for the end. In other words, as Genesis 11 ends, the last candle has flickered out, and darkness is about to swallow up the light. And yet, in the midst of this great darkness, God calls a childless man and woman and gives them this promise that God will bless them, will give them a purpose, and give them a family, and they will be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. And God promises this family they will be a blessing. So a few things were required of Abram to receive that promise. First, Abraham had to take his hands off everything he owned and loved and venture out into the unknown. God said to Abraham, go. And Abraham said, where? And God said, I'll show you, but I'll go with you. God never lays out some big plan and said, here's the whole plan for your life. I'll see you at the end. God never does that. And here's why. Because God desires a love relationship with you. So what does God do? God reveals just enough light, like carrying a flashlight in the dark. You can't see past the 10 feet of the light. Because God wants to go with us in our journey. In order for us to go with God, to experience God, as he calls us to places we have yet to see. God said, go to Abram. And he said, I'll show you a place he'd never been. Would you be ready to go to a place you've never been before? Abraham was. God said to Abraham, I'll give you a son. And Abraham said, how? And God answers, I'll take care of that. Just follow me. Later in life, God will say to Abraham, go to the top of the mountain and sacrifice that son. And Abraham says, why? And God answers, I'll show you later. Just climb. I think that has to do with Abraham be so enthralled by the blessing of God himself that he would give up being in a relationship with God. I think so many of us bask in the blessings and the good life and the things that God has given us, so much so we forget the giver of all of those gifts. We just bask in the blessings. We don't bask in God. So the first thing, Abraham had to take his hands off of everything he owned and loved and venture into the unknown. He was a success in Ur, but he ventured with God to a place he'd never seen. How many of us have experienced enough success that we hesitate changing something too much? A second thing that was required of Abraham is he had to believe God for the impossible. Abram and Sarah were childless, which is a challenge for any couple. But in verse 4 of chapter 12, God tells us that Abram was 75, his wife was in her 60s, and he was told to forsake all that he was clinging to and venture into the unknown, trusting nothing but the promise of God. This makes me ask myself, so of course, let me ask you too. Are you following God in your own life? Do you have the reins, or have you given God full rein? It's scary to say, Lord, here I am. However you want to use me, I invite you. We want to pick and choose how God wants to use us, don't we? We want to be used by God, but only in the stuff that doesn't wig us out too much or inconvenience us too much. You know, like Logan said a couple weeks ago, this opportunity to go with God is almost like a blank check with our life and allowing him to do with your life what he wishes to do. A second question, in what lies your security? In what lies your security? In what lies your kingdom? What do you truly have as first in your life right now? If God is God, then let him be God, even of your whole self. Our problem is we play the hokey pokey way too much. I put my right hand in, take my right hand out, take my right hand in, shake. You know, the last verse says, put your what? Whole self in. This is after you've done your, what do they call the? Your backside. Yeah, after your backside, you put your whole self in. We couldn't say anything but backside in the 1950s, I guess. That wasn't so bad. You put your whole self in, but then what do? We put our whole self out. Yeah. God says, what if you just sing the first line? Put your whole self in. Yeah, shake it all about. See what God's going to do. You see, God wasn't calling Abraham to make God a part of his life, which we hear in a lot of media. Yeah, I let God be a part of my life. We live it, don't we? God wasn't calling Abraham to make God a part of his life or to add a few tweaks to his morality. God called Abraham to a whole new basis of life. No longer would he find a security in how much he possessed or how able he was to provide for himself or in what everyone else thought of him or what the world told him about himself. He had to trust God. No longer would he spend his life building his own little kingdom. He left that to seek the building of God's family. And we are beneficiaries of that. You see, following God is not just adding a little God to our lives. It is a revolution of the soul. And it changes you from the inside out. This revolution of the soul is where you live for a new kingdom that has no borders. Where you live for a new kingdom, where you establish a new base of security. What do you look to ensure that tomorrow will be okay? Money, family, job security, your abilities, your strength? Or is Jesus Christ the future? You know, the kids today may hear, just discover yourself. Just know you are the future. And I love to tell the kids every year, you're not the future. But the future has a name, and it's Jesus Christ. Following God means a new kingdom and a new source of authority, a new source of security. You think of God as your security. You know, when Lee and I were first married, I said, well, what if we are called to the inner city, toughest neighborhood in Detroit? I asked Lee that. She said, well, is God faithful or is God not faithful? I said, what about raising children there? She said, if God is faithful, then what else can we do? If God is calling us somewhere, we can fight it. But why? If God is trustworthy, then trust him. That was my wife telling me, the pastor, that. I was a smart man and I listened. A new source of security. My mother-in-law moved to Dexter with two suitcases in her hand, never having been to church. She'd come once or twice, but not every time she visited us. Over a Sunday would she come to church. She found a new source of security in the community that you guys gave her. And through that community, she found Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, the stories that were so painful for her to tell about being in the evacuation during the Blitz transformed because she was transformed. Jillian, my daughter, leaves on Tuesday to go to inner city Memphis for the Memphis Teachers Residency Program. Am I nervous? Yes. Is God faithful? Yes. Here's the deal, though. If God is my security, then following him and trusting him in all things is my priority. If God is your security, if you want God to be your security, then trusting him in all things is your priority. It is first, because God calls us to things we cannot see. That's the nature of the call. That's the nature of going with God. What if what you cannot yet see is faith? What if what you cannot yet see that God is calling you to is hope in the midst of your situation? What if what you cannot see is forgiveness in your family? God is calling you to that. What if what you cannot see is a way to let go of the bitterness that you have clung to or that has been eating away quietly? What if what God is calling you to that you cannot see are any of those things? My invitation is for you to trust God in all things. So many people here have trusted God with their time, with their talents, and with their treasures. We're called to trust God in all things. To trust God that we don't have to throw our brains out when we walk in the door. That God is calling us to love him with our minds. Trusting God that God has a bigger plan for the people of Dexter and Pinckney and Chelsea and Hamburg and Whitmore Lake and Ann Arbor than what we could ever imagine. Just like the people 30 years ago, 32 years ago did when they purchased this land. You know, this Dive In campaign has been a huge step off the dock for Lee and for me. And we've learned, we've leaned on God in new ways. And I think the challenge, and also the best thing that could come about, is for us looking to commit to God's calling us to things we cannot yet see. It is about your time. It is about your talents. It is about your resources. As we think about what this means for us going forward, I just would say, what are you afraid of? Think of Abram. Think of Sarai. What are you afraid of? Name it and take your step. What's really the issue? That you can't see God? Could you trust that God sees you and loves you infinitely? Don't let anything smokescreen you from offering God your time and your talents and your treasures. Jesus says our hearts are where our treasures are. Next week is going to be an amazing week. If you have never witnessed firsthand someone being baptized in the river, come to 11 o'clock. We'll read the testimonies near the end of the service or as a part of the service. Then we'll head to the river, literally, and have a baptism. We've got like half a dozen people who Steve's been in contact with who are being baptized, youth and adults. It's incredible. I never saw river baptism until this place. And I was the one baptizing somebody. I had to ask Denise, how do you do it? She's like, you grab here and here, and you hold on tight. That's what is happening. God is grabbing a hold of lives, like Peter said, and touching and shaping and changing lives for his kingdom. You know, this commitment card that we're going to share in the next couple weeks, there's three responses. Some people are new and they might say, yes, I'm going to take a step. I'm going to make a commitment for 1 year till the end of the Dive In initiative. And then probably most of us will be that middle arrow. I'm going to confirm the commitment I made a year ago and finish strong. And then maybe there's some of us who have had an increase of faith or an increase in finances, and we're going to take one step more and increase our giving. That's all that is. It's a tool. Our church's number one goal, everything else aside, is for you to experience God. We're not trying to raise money or set any financial goals. Our number one goal is that all of us would experience God. He wants you and me to trust him. To trust him with our lives, trust him with our children, trust him with our time, trust him with our talents, trust him with our treasures. He wants you and me to put him first, not because he thinks we owe him something, but because that's the healthiest way for us to live. And then he wants us, as a result of that, to taste and see that the Lord is good, as it says in the Psalms. You know, here it is, the start of summer. It's a time to find your swimming hole. I believe the best swimming hole in this whole town is this church right here. Even if it's something you cannot yet see, just like Abram and Sarai. Is it okay to jump? Yes. Because through whatever it is you're facing, whatever the smoke in your eyes is, God, our Heavenly Father, with everlasting arms, can see you. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for the testimony of Peter Boychuk. Thank you for the testimony of this congregation, for the testimony of countless others whose lives have been touched by you. Lord, guide us as we follow you. Guide our leaders. Guide the new folks just finding their way here. Lord, that we would trust you even with things that we cannot see, in places you're calling us that we do not yet know. We are yours. Lord, for some of us, it's a very basic thing like faith itself. Help us to take that step deeply. For others, we've lost hope. We're left with nothing but cynicism and bitterness. Help us, God, as we respond to your call to leave those behind. For some of us, it's unforgiveness. Help us to let go of the unforgiveness because you've forgiven us. For others of us who've been walking with you a long time, maybe it's letting go of a level of comfort in order to see what's next in our lives with you. Thank you that you are not just a small piece of our lives, but that you are our whole basis for living. The security in that, the faithfulness in that, God, is priceless. And so we do thank you for every blessing and every promise and even every challenge. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.